Hi, this is Matt Welsh with Spiritual Media Blog, and tonight I am here with Chris Cade, creator of the Liberate Your Life System and Life is Like a Cup of Coffee inspirational video. Chris, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Matt. I'm really looking forward to sharing with you.
Yeah, and to get things started, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Life is Like a Cup of Coffee video? Just where did you get the idea? Why did you create it? And what's it all about?
I originally created it just out of an inspirational desire to put something in video form, but I have no video skills whatsoever. So really, I was a visionary behind it. And what I did is I just looked for a story that I thought would be great. I found one, that one, you know, the Life is Like a Cup of Coffee had come through my email a few times from different people. And I thought, well, that's, you know, if other people are sharing it in email, it would make a great video. So I decided to make it into a video. I went out and got a bunch of beautiful pictures and found some royalty-free music that I could put into it. And then I went to, at the time it was called rentdecoder.com, but now it's called vworker.com, and I paid someone $175 to put together the music with the pictures and put the text on the screen. And basically we'd just do a lot of iterations where they would say, you know, what do you think of this? And I would adjust the timing or the photos or the text and give feedback. And then we just did that for a few weeks until finally the video was done. And then I was able to share it on YouTube, but I really didn't have originally a large vision for it. Originally it was just something I felt compelled to create. But once I created it, then I had a vision. I said, you know what, I want to get, you know, 1,000 people to watch this thing. And I thought that was a great idea. And then shortly thereafter, someone, you know, I started realizing how good the video was. I didn't really know because it was just, you know, kind of stumbling onto luck with my first video that I had ever put together. But it became popular. So then I changed my mission to reaching 1 million people. And so after that, it was just about learning how to market the video and get it out there. And, you know, how to actually reach 1 million people was a larger question because I had never reached 1 million people in my life. And something told me, you know, it was just a hunch that 1 million was a good number to pick for this video.
Yeah, well, that's so cool to hear. I love how you said you just put it out there without any real set intention at first other than just to create it. And for those on the call, I think right now it's at it's over 2 million, and I think it's at 2.5 million, close to 2.5 million views on YouTube. So how did that happen? How did you go from wanting 1,000 people to see it to now getting over 2 million views? I mean, how does that happen?
Well, it happens, in this case, a very large element and combination of many different things, because I've also produced other YouTube videos that have gone on to do, you know, 40, 50,000 views, and that's considered to be extremely successful. I mean, if you get 1,000 views, that's great. So the fact that, you know, almost any video I put out is going to be, you know, 10,000, 15,000, 40, 50,000, there is a formula to it, but there's something about the Life is Like a Cup of Coffee video that really, really took off. And I think part of it comes down to stories. You know, it tells a story, and we as humans, we have to finish stories, even if it's a bad story. We stay to the end of bad movies. And it's not just because we paid for the movie and we want to get our money's worth. It's because there's actually a part of our brain that doesn't really do well with unfinished stories. So when you're making a video, if you can bring it into story format and a story that's so compelling that people need to know what happens in the next slide, what happens next in the story, they're going to watch it till the end. And even if you're making a video with a bunch of quotes, which I've made, you know, a few videos like that as well, there's still a way that you can choose to organize the quotes such that they lead a person, just like being in a story. I created another video that was all about inspiring quotes and heroes, and it starts by talking about the power of stories in our lives and then leads you into quotes about being the hero of your life. And so even with quotes, you can do it. But in this case, it's just a really compelling story is the first place to start. But above that, the music is key. There's a reason why movie producers pay big bucks to have good soundtracks for their movies. They will pay through the roof for the licensing or to make custom music just so that the right mood strikes at every scene in a movie. And the same thing is true with online videos. So many people will just grab some music that's good enough or that they like. And I will actually spend more time finding music, the right music, than I will on any other element of the video production, because it's that engaging, and people don't always realize it. But if you look at the comments on the Life is Like a Cup of Coffee video, I get tons of comments all the time on the music. In fact, one person went out of her way to contact me so that she could get the music to be able to use it for her wedding video that she was making. So people connected so strongly with the music that they wanted to know more about that than anything else. So I really think that the music is one of the really pivotal pieces. From a production perspective, though, it's really important to keep the videos somewhere between 3 to 4 minutes. You know, if you're closer to three, that's great. You know, you always want to use high-resolution photos. So I go and I will pay money from the royalty-free stock sites like iStockPhoto, for example, and I'll pay the money for those pictures because to be able to use them both for the licensing so that I can distribute the images, but also to have higher quality, it just makes a big difference because there's so many videos on YouTube that are mediocre quality. In fact, tons of people after the success of my video started creating, you know, copycat videos, and they use lower quality images and they use, you know, music that doesn't connect, and you see they get 50 views. You know, what makes the difference between, you know, 2.5 million views and 50 views? Part of it is that degree of production quality. So I can't emphasize enough that if you can make your video stand out over the other ones that are out there, it's going to go miles, and people are going to want to share that more because they can engage with it and it feels professional. So those are a few pieces. I mean, I could go on. I mean, if you want me to go on, I've got tons of stuff that we can look at for making a video successful, because that's only the production part. That's not even the marketing side of it yet.
Well, I do want to get to the marketing side, but I did have a quick question about the music. You mentioned the music. Where do you get royalty-free music? Where just maybe is it a website that you go to?
I purchased it from neosounds.com. That's actually not that music. The music I bought for that video is from a site that doesn't exist anymore, so no one can actually buy the music, which is part of why people love it so much, is you just can't get it anywhere now. But I use neosounds.com for all my other music, for all my other videos I've made. I really like Neosounds. They have a good variety. You can listen, search by different criteria. There's some other websites that I haven't used that other marketers recommend. Musicbakery.com, studiocuts.com, that's with a Z at the end, and digitaljuice.com. I don't even know if those sites exist because I've never went to them, but in dialogue with other marketers, those are other ones that have been recommended. But I always use neosounds.com, and I love it there.
That's good to know. No, that's very helpful. I really like how you talk about the importance of the quality of the video. I knew that you had put time and effort into the quality of the message and the story, but I guess I didn't realize how much time and effort you put into picking the music, but that's a really interesting and good point.
Yeah, well, it's important to realize that when you're making an online video, you're not just sharing a message, you're creating an experience. And just like when people pay to go to the movie theaters and they love the surround sound and, you know, it's an action movie, the rumbling, you know, or the big bass of the speakers and, you know, the giant screen and the quality, and they want to sit in comfortable seats that rock with little, you know, holes in the armchairs to hold their sodas and their popcorn. You know, when you really get down to it, people want an experience in life. And if you can give them that experience virtually, that'll go a long way towards helping them connect with your message. And the only way they're going to connect with it is if they feel like they're actually in the experience. And a low quality, low production is not going to give people an experience. They're just going to see it as another video online. But the second you up that quality, what happens is just like your experience, people don't realize that the quality is part of what's getting them engaged with the video. You know, a great movie, you'll never notice the soundtrack, but the soundtrack will always affect your emotions and your engagement with the movie. So it really is something that a lot of people don't think about, is the detail to the production quality. So yeah, it's a good thing you highlighted that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you sharing that with us. And you mentioned the marketing aspect, and that's something that I've always been fascinated with and also admired, the way that you go about marketing your work. So do you mind sharing with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. There's different pieces to marketing I think are important to keep in mind. One of them is just the technical functional element. You know, how do you spread your message with the mediums you have available? So if you're on Facebook or Twitter, a great thing to do when you're trying to get your video started is to use your video URL instead of your website. You know, I did this on Twitter for a couple of years where when people would visit my Twitter profile, it didn't take them to my website. It took them to my YouTube video. And that, you know, has actually multiple benefits. One is the fact that it gets more views for your video. But two, social media, especially Twitter, when you're first getting involved, self-promotion isn't terribly popular. So instead of sending people to your website, or even worse, an affiliate offer, which I've seen many times, you know, you send people to a video on your YouTube account that you want to have, you know, get some views up, and then people, again, can have an experience of you before they decide if they want to follow you. So you can do that on Twitter and Facebook and any other social media places you're at. You know, you're going to want to blog about it, so you make a blog post. Do that. One thing on a quasi-technical side is on your YouTube video settings, make sure that you enable the option that allows other people to embed your video on their websites. That's one of the keys to getting it to spread virally, is you really want people to be able to just take it and spread it and move it. Because I see so many great videos, but then the people disable embedding. They force you to watch it on YouTube, and that just discourages people from actually spreading the video. You want them to put it in their emails. You want them to put it on their blogs, any which way you can. So always enable that option. Another thing you can do if you have an email list, email it out to your subscribers. Say, hey, I just made this great video for you. I hope you enjoy it. And if you do, you know, pass it on to a few friends. You know, those are all really good ways to do it. Another thing you want to do is make sure that you're, you know, you have keywords, you know, in your YouTube video, you know, a good title, a good description. So whatever it is you really want to target, you want to find ways to reach people in that way. And your YouTube username, it's important to actually use a username to use as your keywords. So in this case, the YouTube account is called Spiritual Stories, because at the time, the main way that I was building my business was reaching people through spiritual stories. So whatever your main brand is, or how you want people to find you, use that as your username, use it as your keywords, find a way to include it in your title and description. You know, those are definitely important things to do. There's also a piece of software that I used originally called Tube Toolbox. And it's a YouTube automation software that helps you go and, you know, automatically subscribe to channels, automatically subscribe to friends, you know. Basically, it's a way to reach people. And what I did is I just kept using it to subscribe to people's channels. And then what those people would do is they'd go check out my channel and then see my video and like it, comment, share it, and so on. So it was a good automation software. That's tubetoolbox.com that really was helped me kind of kick it off as well, in addition to the Twitter, in addition to the Facebook, in addition to emailing out to my subscribers. So, you know, it's a good plan to go out onto other YouTube videos that are similar. So search for, you know, videos that are like yours or authors like yours. Find videos that relate to it and go comment on those people's channels. Add them as friends and start an engagement in that way in the social media. You don't have to do a lot, but you do have to reach out. And when you do that, people, again, are going to come back and check out your work. And if they like it, they're going to, you know, click the like button. You know, they're going to rate it. They're going to comment on it, and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's important to remember that YouTube is also a community. And even though I didn't engage heavily in the community, I still acknowledge it as a community and find ways to connect with people in that way, even if I don't maintain the dialogue. You know, my focus is to get the video to start the dialogue. And then if people want to continue it, they can, you know, join my email list or find me on social media or that kind of thing. So I don't use YouTube as a community. I use it as a funnel to build my community and reach other people.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. And you mentioned the email list. That's another aspect of marketing that I've always been interested in. And I know a lot of people would be curious, how do you grow an email list?
Oh, that's a golden question. Now, before I get there, I want to back up a little bit on the YouTube video, because there's a second point. In addition, you know, one other thing you want to do is, you know, on your social networking sites, message your friends, tell them all to spread the videos far and wide. But what I was going to get to is that there's a second piece of marketing that makes something go viral. And it's irrelevant whether it's a video, whether it's a blog post, an email, whatever it is. And so it segues well into the next, you know, area that we're going to talk about. But what it is I took a lot of time to study persuasion. And the reason why is because when we think about marketing, what you're ultimately doing is trying to persuade someone to take an action. And in the spiritual conscious realms, persuasion often gets a bad rap. People think, you know, they don't want to sell, they don't want to manipulate people. There's negative associations with persuasion. But at its heart, when it's used authentically and integrity, persuasion is your most powerful marketing asset. And I can't state that nearly enough. There's a book that I read called Persuasion, The Psychology of it's called Influence, just the Psychology of Persuasion. And it's written by Robert Cialdini, Cialdini. And for any marketer, I recommend that they read that book probably before they even make a website, before they do anything else. When I teach internet marketing, the first thing I teach at the universities that I've taught at is persuasion. And it always surprises people because they want me to get to the nuts and bolts. How do you build a website? How do you build an email list? You know, how do you get lots of traffic to your website? But underneath it all is persuasion. So one thing with the YouTube video that I did was I thought about it and said, well, what would persuade people to share a video? And what I realize is tapping into the heart of people that want community and want to be part of something larger. So I said, let's help inspire 1 million people. And that was the big marketing angle. The channel has it, you know, the YouTube video itself, you know, the description of it says, you know, help inspire 1 million people. And people can connect with that. They can realize that, you know, simply by watching a video, by sharing it, by liking it, by commenting on it, by forwarding it or emailing it or posting it on their blog or Twitter or Facebook, they've become part of a mission to make the world a better place. So that was a very conscious and intentional use of persuasion that I did. Now, you know, it ties into, you know, list building, what you're talking about, because ultimately what you're trying to do is persuade people to join your email list. You're trying to persuade them to take an action. Now, you know, at some point in time, that action needs to be a purchase. Otherwise, you know, you're not going to be able to do business very long. But you can also persuade people to take other actions, such as spread your viral video. So that's another thing to keep in mind. Or maybe you're persuading people just to read your email, you know, your subject line. Does it persuade people to open your email? If you want them to go visit a website, regardless of what you're sending them to, are you persuading them effectively to click that link and go through? Have you persuaded them effectively that once they click through to take, you know, whatever action you think they need to take? You know, ideally in our business, it's about helping people improve their lives. So my biggest actions that I want people to take are to actually do something in their life that improves the quality of their life based on something I've shared. So when you think about persuasion as the heart of your marketing, and specifically integrity and authenticity-based persuasion, you step into a new realm where you're no longer engaging with people as numbers. You're no longer saying, you know, I want to get 500 people on my email list or 5,000 or 50,000. That's not what it's about anymore. Now it's about how do I get, you know, 100 people to change their life? How do I get 50 people to share a video? How do I get 50,000 people to connect with me as a person so that they know me, they like me, they trust me, and therefore when I do recommend things, they'll take action. When someone visits my website for the first time, what elements need to be on that website that they are persuaded to join my email list? So, you know, a few things that help, you see testimonials all the time. There's a reason for that. It's called social proof. The basic premise is if someone else like me has taken this action and joined this list or purchased this product, or in the case of a video, you know, if 2.5 million people have watched it, the assumption is it's probably a good video to watch. So I should watch it too if I consider myself to be like these other people. Same thing with your email list. If you are targeting baby boomers, then having testimonials on your website from baby boomers is going to be very powerful. That's where you're going to want to include the ages of your testimonials if they'll let you include their ages. Because now you have people saying, you know, a baby boomer visits your website, sees 20 people with testimonials and 15 of them are baby boomers, and they say, well, these people are like me. I think I'm going to sign up for this guy's list, or I'm going to buy his product, or whatever it happens to be. So that's one way of persuading people authentically. Another way that you'll often see persuasion done is through the use of authority. So in this case, rather than being someone like me, it's going to be someone who I trust and perceive as an authority in something. So a doctor, you know, 9 out of 10 doctors recommend, you know, some particular drug or whatever it is on TV. That's basically leveraging authority. It's saying, you know, if all these doctors who have been through all this education and, you know, saved X number of lives or done all these things with their life, if they recommend this, then it probably is good for me too. So that's why you'll see a lot of authority. You know, in the old days, Michael Jordan was the Nike spokesperson. I mean, that's authority right there. Best basketball player in the world and, you know, probably history. And he's wearing Nike shoes, so maybe you should too. So those are different ways that people leverage authority. So in the case of like myself and my marketing, I go and I get, you know, I separate between testimonials and endorsements. For me, testimonials specifically are customers and subscribers who have used my product. In the case of endorsements, those are authority figures, other authors, speakers, coaches, celebrities who are endorsing me and saying, hey, you know what? I like Chris and you'll probably like him too. So that's another way that I use authenticity and integrity here, because so many times you'll see testimonials on a website and you don't know, well, is it just, you know, some other, you know, are they fake? Is it some other promotion, you know, some other partner who just, you know, put his name on there to get promoted? And I like to just cut that off, you know, right out from the outset. Testimonials are real customers, subscribers, people who've engaged with my content, and endorsements are basically the authority figures. And in that way, you see I'm using social proof on one side and the authority on the other. There's actually a lot of different persuasion principles, and I could literally talk about persuasion for hours. So I'm not going to go into it too much more right now, except to say that go get that book, Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion, read it, and think about how you can use that with integrity in your business, because it's going to influence everything you do, from the articles you write. You know, if you're writing articles on easyandarticles.com to try and get traffic to your website, many people make the mistake at the end of putting their biography there. And they'll put, you know, Chris Cade, you know, does X, Y, and Z, and here's where he's from, and here's some of the cool things about him, and here's his website. And when you do that, you're missing out a great opportunity, because there, people don't really care who you are at the end of an article, honestly. They don't care whose name it is, they don't care what website it is, and they don't care too much about your credentials unless they're really above the top credentials, and then you're leveraging the authority principle. But what people do like is telling them how they can take the next step. So the end of my article says, if you'd like to, you know, get a free mini course, you know, that covers these topics that will benefit you, click this link. It doesn't even talk about my name, or maybe it mentions my name once as the creator of the e-course, but basically I don't talk about myself at the end of those easy article bios. I talk about what I can give the reader? How can that reader take the next step to improve their life and get more familiar with me? And then once they visit my website, that gets them to subscribe because they know what they're getting before they land. You know, I've told them you're going to get a 7-day email course. So before they click the link, they know they're going to enter their email address. And they know after that, they're going to get great content. So I'm already letting people know in advance what I'm going to give them. But again, around the persuasion principles, make sure that you focus on really giving people things. You know, that's one of the principles is reciprocity. And the idea is that I will give something to you without expectation of return. Now, I, of course, hope that you'll return the reciprocity. So when I give you a gift, a PDF download, when I give you a free report or, you know, some other video or some other thing that's designed to improve your life, I sure hope that somewhere down the line you will reciprocate and return that energy to me. Now, if you're using that principle without integrity, it looks a little different. It'll say, I'm going to give you this thing, and you are going to feel obligated to give me something back. And I'm doing it because I want you to be obligated to me. And that's one way that people use reciprocity that is not with integrity or authenticity. In my case, what I really advocate is give, 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 and place trust that other people will give back in the ways that are most appropriate. And one way that can be appropriate is when I send out an email to my subscribers and say, you know what? I've got this great video. I want to spread it. I want to help more people. Would you please watch it and forward it on to your friends? And a lot of people will forward it on, and they'll do it because I asked them to, and that is reciprocity. And it's genuine reciprocity because there's no harm if they don't do it. You know, if they never return that energy, I say, okay, fine. That's okay. I still gave my best effort. But when you use reciprocity really with integrity, people know it. They know that you're out there for their best interests, and then they want to reciprocate that naturally, you know, ideally by purchasing your product or a product you recommend.
Yeah, I really like how you put that. It's a good combination of very practical, effective marketing tips, but also incorporating those principles of authenticity and integrity. It's very, very insightful. I do want to open this line up in the next couple minutes, but I also kind of want to give you a chance to talk about if there's any other topics on your mind you want to talk about, if there's any other products or courses that you're working on right now that you want to let us know about, or just any other thoughts that you want to share with us, feel free to just share those with us now.
Yeah, well, the big thing for me is give, give, give. And I trust, like I said, that by giving, that energy will be returned to me. And underneath that and included with it is that it's all about building a relationship. It's so easy to get lost in marketing in numbers. You know, oh, I want to get 10,000 Twitter followers or, you know, 30,000 Facebook fans, or I want a list of 100,000 people. And people get lost in that, and they forget that the way you do that is one relationship at a time. And it may not be one-on-one. I'm not going out and emailing every person personally. But when I am marketing, what I'm doing is I'm putting myself out there. I share myself. I share my story. I let people know about my triumphs in life, and I let them know about my challenges in life. And what I do is I give people someone to relate to. In another way of looking at it is I give people a story to follow. Just like I talked about a story being key to a video, it's also key to your business, that people have some sort of story, a character, a way that they can relate to you. And so when you think about your communications as reaching a person and not a group, then that changes considerably. When you write your emails, I see a lot of people that'll focus on a group and say something like, you know, when they talk about you, you know, they write an email saying, you know, you can do this or that, and they make it clear they're not talking to an individual. They're talking to a group, and they'll use group-based language, you know, since you're, you know, my tribe, you know, stuff like that, which is fine if you back it up and refer to the person as you, you know, people in my tribe like you. You know, you can get personal when you're writing your emails. Just imagine you're writing to a single person. If you want to do a newsletter every couple, you know, every few weeks or months, that's fine. But for the purposes of your of really building your business, always think about the fact that you're connecting with a single unique individual. And if you can think of it in that way, you'll focus on relationship building, because then you'll ask, how can I build this relationship? How can I build trust in this relationship? How can I help people feel comfortable with me in this relationship? And that will pave the way for all of your marketing, because people pick up on that. Just like they pick up on when you give, 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 they pick up on when you give yourself. And so I really want to emphasize that. I can't emphasize it enough that with all of your marketing, step away from the numbers and the list size and how to get more, 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 and think about how to give more of yourself such that people can feel connected to you. Now, as far as the last part about reaching me and other products, you know, I do have my Liberate Your Life program. I very much enjoy that. And the best thing, if people want to learn more about me, is visit my website at chriscade.com, chriscade.com. And there you'll learn lots about me, and you can decide if you want to take the next steps and join, you know, my list or get some of my freebies. And if not, you know, you'll find a lot there just to learn about marketing and to see how I do things.
Yeah, I really like your website. It's great. Your bio is so personal. Like, you can find out a lot about your personal and professional background, which is pretty interesting in and of itself. So if people get a chance, I'd encourage them to check that out. Well, I will open this line up and see if anyone has any questions. And if not, we'll just continue our conversation.
Sounds good. I look forward to it.
Okay, the conference line is now unmuted. So if anyone would like to ask Chris or myself a question, I'll just pause for a few moments and open up the space for people. All right, well, Chris, I, of course, do have some more questions that I would love to speak to you about.
Okay, let's bring it on.
Why don't you talk a little bit about how your interest in spiritual websites and spiritual content got started originally, maybe the background with how spiritualstories.com got started.
Yeah, my wife, Laura, at the time, she had an interest in writing her own spiritual stories. I didn't. I didn't really have much of a spiritual path at the time, but she wanted a place to share them. She was thinking of writing a book, and I decided, well, you know, I can make a website and learn about online marketing. And that was how the website originally started. And then once it was there, I just kept learning about online marketing and how to build a website and how to monetize it. And I learned very quickly that the key to building an effective website online is focusing on list building. So a lot of people make the mistake of having Google Ads on their website. And the problem with that is once someone clicks a Google Ad, they go away from your website and they don't come back. So I took all the ads off and focused on just getting people to subscribe to my list so I could give them more great free content. And that's how the entrepreneurial side went. I just kept learning more and more, and I expanded the website to include stories from all different walks of life, different ages, different cultures, as well as people just like Laura who, you know, were writing. And so that's how I really got into the entrepreneurial side. On the spiritual side, it was really not something I intended to do or really wanted to, but basically what happened was there had been a rift in my marriage where, you know, she had thought that, you know, she had a spiritual path and that was important to her. And I really didn't care too much about spirituality at the time. And she threatened me with a divorce. She said, either get a spiritual path or a divorce lawyer. And I really didn't like either of those options, but I took the lesser of two evils and decided to check out spirituality. And ended up finding out that I really liked it a lot. I loved the idea of conscious thinking, of living with more integrity and authenticity in the world, and how to move forward in the world in that way. And it became a passion of mine. And so I was really consumed with these two passions of entrepreneurship and spirituality. And over time, they just merged closer and closer and started to have greater synergies until finally I decided to leave the corporate world and just serve people full-time online.
Yeah, I think that's great. I misspoke earlier. It's spiritualshortstories.com.
Correct.
That was one of my favorite websites. And so I'm kind of curious. You said you first started that. Obviously you were providing like high quality stories for people, but you were also researching how to grow a list and how to get more traffic. So like, what were some of the first steps that you took to try to get more traffic and more people to your list?
One of the first ones was actually paying for ads on Google AdWords, which is something a lot of new marketers and even experienced marketers tend to shy away from. They get concerned because if you're not doing Google Ads correctly, you could easily lose a lot of money very quickly. But, you know, it's also a matter of people not understanding how to write effective ads and how to, target the right keywords and things like that. And I never really was an expert at that. I just happened to get very lucky and stumble upon an approach that for me seemed to work at the time. But what I liked about Google Ads was I have the ability to reach people, very specific people, and at reasonably low costs. And so Google Ads was a big way that I did it. I focused a lot on search engine optimization because that's a way that once you do it well and you do it right, you'll get free traffic pretty much forever. And so I haven't done any search engine optimization on my Spiritual Short Stories website a few years, but it still gets something like, 6, 8, 10,000 new visitors a month just from search engines.
Wow.
So whatever I did, it's getting a ton of traffic and I don't have to do anything for that ever again. So I focused a lot on search engine optimization. There was a system that I learned. I actually had already built the website and did well with it, but there's guys that Anthony and Tim, they run a product or a website called Takeover Page One is what it used to be called. Their website might even be takeoverpageone.com. I'm not certain. But I followed their system in building my other websites and was able to get my Christmas Stories website, for example, that I made within a month of launching it, right before Christmas. It already was getting 10,000 views in the previous month. And then the following year, it got like 50,000 views. I think it's probably going to top 100,000 views in a month during this Christmas season. And I haven't done search engine optimization on it in a couple of 2 or 3 years. So one of the things I love about search engine optimization is when you do it well and you do it right, you really do get free traffic forever. And if your website is monetized well, then that equates to free money forever. It equates to serving people forever. You get this leverage where you can improve people's lives forever with doing nothing additional. That website, I don't touch it at all. And it still gets, like I said, it's probably going to get 100,000 visitors, between, November 25th and December 25th. So I really love search engine optimization and paid ads because between the two, you can get just a ton of traffic really quickly. On the side of paid ads, also, if you really know your target demographic, Facebook ads can be amazing. And I don't recommend putting Facebook ads to your website. I recommend making a page and then getting people on the Facebook ads to click and like your page. Build a relationship from there, and then if you want them to take the next step, encourage them on Facebook on your page to visit your website and learn more or put videos up there. One way that I reach a lot of people is by having my YouTube videos embedded on Facebook. And then I'll use Facebook advertising to get people to join the page. Once on it, they'll see the video and the video goes viral. So that's one way that you can leverage paid ads, which I really like. I'm not so much a fan of article marketing anymore. It seems to have just kind of gotten lost in the noise. I see very little quality traffic coming in from my ads, from my my articles that I write. And one way I know that is I like to track my online marketing efforts. So when I use easing articles or things like that where I'm putting a URL out there, I don't just usually put my website. If possible, what I'll do is I'll use a a URL that's tracking people and lets me know how that person found me, and then I can gauge based on results whether or not people are finding me most effectively from Twitter or Facebook or search engine optimization or, you know, articles. And so writing articles, at least for easingarticles.com, has not been very effective for me. But one really good way to write articles is to write custom articles for high-profile blogs. So that's one great thing that you can do. If you know someone, you know, a blog or a website that gets a lot of traffic, they often want guest submissions. And if you write a really good quality article, they'll put it in front of their audience, and that's a great way to get free traffic and serve people at the same time. So I love all sorts of things. I love set-it-and-forget-it types of traffic. So you can always go do link exchanges with websites of people who you admire, who you respect, who you'd like to be associated with, and offer to put their link on your website and vice versa. And then that also leads, of course, into whole joint venture marketing, which is, you know, a wonderful realm where basically, you know, you would agree to send out an email to your subscribers sharing me with them, and then I would agree to send an email out to my subscribers sharing you with them. And, you know, Matt, you and I have done this, you know, several times over the years that we've known each other, and, you know, in various forms. And so that's one way that I think is really powerful, is just leveraging the expertise, the experience, and the efforts of other people and letting them leverage you as well.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I'm going to pause for a few seconds to see if anyone has a question. If not, I have a couple more questions. Anybody else?
Great.
So I'll open up, pause for a few seconds and open things up. All right. Well, you mentioned one word that I've always been fascinated with. You said monetization. And with spiritualshortstories.com, you said set it up and forget it and it's monetized. Like, I mean, you don't have to disclose, like, private business records, but any sort of any information you want to share on, like, how do you monetize a website, or what were some things that were helpful for you to monetize some of your websites?
Well, the most effective ways that I've monetized that website, and, you know, like I said, set it and forget it. That's something that if I can do it, I like to do it. And I don't touch the Spiritual Stories website much at all. It's not an area I do much with. But I've monetized it in multiple ways. I tend to not prefer too many banner ads. People have learned to ignore banner ads. They just get blind to them. I do put one or two, you know, on the sides. I like to use light animation on them. So just enough that it's not obnoxious, but it draws the attention. I really like banner ads with just a slight amount of slow animation. And what I do for monetization is I provide free resources from affiliate partners or myself. And these resources are things like free PDFs, free videos, and so on, that encourage those subscribers to take the next step and make a purchase. So here's how the flow might work. Visitor from your email list visits my website, and they look around, and they kind of like what they see. Maybe they stick around, maybe they don't. They see a little banner ad on the right. They click the banner ad that says, hey, get this free audio. They click it, and they go over to this other website, enter their name and email address, and that other website will follow up and send them emails and try and get them to take the next step and purchase a product. And if that subscriber purchases a product, I get an affiliate commission for referring that subscriber through that banner ad. So that basic flow is how I auto-monetize my websites. So in this case, you know, Spiritual Short Stories, I have a couple banners there, but I also really focus on getting people to subscribe to my email list. So once someone subscribes to my email list, the next page they're taken to is a page that says, hey, great, you're signed up. Here's what you need to do to make sure you keep receiving my emails, add me to your email list. And by the way, here's a couple free gifts for you. And the free gifts are a couple of PDF reports. And again, these are immediate direct downloads on my website. But when people click the links inside the PDF reports, it has my affiliate link in there, so I actually earn a commission if they make a purchase from that other person. So that's another way that I monetize the website automatically. And another piece is once people subscribe to my emails, they're receiving stories, inspirational videos, and things like that. And the stories often are written from authors who have other books. So inside my emails, I'll share a story, and I'll say, if you liked this, you know, feel free to check out, you know, Dan Millman's, you know, other books, or check out Guy Finley's, you know, other audios or things like that. And then I'll link over to that author and earn a small commission if someone decides to make a purchase. And then also throughout my emails, what I'll do is sometimes have a direct promotion and say, you know what, this person's awesome. They've got a great free gift. Go check it out and get it. And the way that the emails are automated is there's a lot of email services like iContact, GetResponse, AWeber. I use Office Autopilot, which is a little bit pricier version. Some people like Infusionsoft or One Shopping Cart. All of those email service providers offer you the ability to create what's called an autoresponder, where you can make it so that every subscriber who joins your list will get the same sequence of emails over the same amount of time. So if you subscribe to my list today, you get message one today, you'll get message two tomorrow, message three the day after that. Let's say you tell a friend about my website, and that friend subscribes a month from now. They're still going to get the first message on day one, the second message on day two, the third message on day three. So the way I've set up my email sequence is that it actually runs for about a year and sends people an automated email every 3 days. And then at the end of that sequence, what it'll do is it will actually unsubscribe them from the sequence and then resubscribe them to the beginning. And what that does is it basically makes it so that if someone wants to get my emails, they will get them forever, and I will never have to do anything ever again. So I don't actually have to touch my Spiritual Stories website. And yet at the same time, people are seeing banner ads, they're seeing the free gifts, they're getting the emails, and it'll all go on indefinitely. And so that's one of the great things I love about doing Set It and Forget It stuff. And because it's a great website with great content, people love to keep engaging with that content, and they share the stories with their friends, and they share the emails with their friends, and they share the videos and so on. And so the actual viral traffic helps, you know, helps on its own in addition to the SEO traffic and in addition to the ad, you know, the advertising traffic that I send. But all those things, you know, advertising traffic, you know, SEO and viral traffic are all things that I never have to do anything else. You know, I set up the ads once and it keeps going, do the SEO once and it keeps going. And then, you know, the emails, they just keep going. So that's a true set it and forget it website that if I just decided I never wanted to do any work ever again, that website would still bring in, you know, money every single month, probably, you know, on its own a few $100 a month, I'd say, if I'm not doing any effort. So
that's great. That's exciting to hear, too. And one thing that you sort of touched upon, but I just really want to reiterate is your websites and your emails and your videos, all of that really provides high quality content in and of itself. So if someone were to visit your website or subscribe to your newsletter, I mean, they're getting very, like, inspiring and helpful content.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Again, you know, it ties back to building that relationship and the reciprocity, that I'm going to give what I can and I'm going to give myself and make sure that, you know, what I'm putting out there is stuff that is going to impact people's lives, because it serves no one to put junk out there, because if you put average work out there, then people are going to look and say, yeah, whatever, I don't need to subscribe to this email. I don't need more average content. You know, you put amazing stuff out there, put good stuff out there, change people's lives. And you don't have to do a lot of persuasion to get them to subscribe to your list. They will want to. They will try and find a way to. I get that all the time. You know, people email me directly and say, hey, so-and-so told me about your website or forwarded me your email. Can you put me on your list? And I say, you know what? I actually can't do that, and I won't do that. But here's how you can sign up and join if you want more. I always want people to be taking that action on their own. You know, for many reasons, but I get that all the time. People saying they found me from X, Y, and Z. I get subscribers who ask me if I have an affiliate program, even though I don't publish or advertise that I have an affiliate program. I do have one, but you can only find out about it if you ask or hear me mention it occasionally, because I don't make it clear that I have one. but people still say, you know, the content is so great, they don't even know what I'm selling half the time, you know, and they still want to find out if I have an affiliate program because they just would love to be able to make money sharing, you know, really good free content. And so I think that's important. You know, above all else, publish great stuff and people will want to be associated with you.
Yeah. We have 5 minutes left. And again, I'll kind of pause for a moment, see if anyone has any questions. And I'll just kind of open up the line that way, see if anyone wants to ask any questions or make any comments. Chris, like I said, we really, really appreciate your time and your insights tonight. And yeah, sort of give you the last word. And if you want to leave us with any closing remarks or words of wisdom, please do so.
Yeah, my words of wisdom would be listen to this interview a few times because there's so many pieces here that we've touched upon and really only at a high level that it's really important to just really grasp that, you know, giving great content and thinking of your subscribers as individual people that you're connecting with will take you much farther than any marketing strategies or techniques or tactics or things like that that people teach you. You know, take, for example, this call that we're having. When someone listens to it, they're going to know that you do your best to deliver great content, that you reach out to people so that you can help serve the people who are listening, and you're going to get respect for that. And people are going to want more interviews from you because of that. They're going to want to get more content from you because of that. And similarly, when I show up for interviews, I don't think of it as a marketing pitch fest. I don't try and get my products out there. I'm not trying to blast my websites or anything like that because I trust that just by showing up and giving you my best, it makes you look good, it makes me look good, and it gives everybody listening great content. And if they want to find me, I'm not hard to find. They'll find me. I don't need to, you know, make an effort out of that. And think about that with all of your marketing. If you're putting out great stuff, people will want to find you, and they will find you. Now, of course, the easier you can make that, the better your marketing is and the more people you'll reach. But when that's at the heart of your marketing, when service, integrity, authenticity are at the heart of your marketing, then everything else is easier, it's fun, and you get to just, you know, connect with people a lot more easily. And that's what I love about this work, getting to connect, you know, with you on the phone. I mean, originally you were a subscriber to my email list 4 or 5 years ago. That's how we met. We didn't meet because, you know, we both had this huge, giant business and we met at a convention. We met because one day you said, hey, Chris, I run this little website and I'd love to interview you. And I said, sure, let's do it. Let's have fun. And that's how it could start that way.
I know. I still remember our first phone call and when I met you. I remember coming away from that phone call just feeling just like I just – spoken to like a friend. Like I just had it was a very friendly, fun, interesting conversation where we were just like, I felt like I met someone who I could share an interest with. So it was just, it's been really kind of fun to stay connected too.
Yeah, and I enjoy that even now, 5 years later, it's still the same conversation style, you know, and just chatting like friends and keeping in touch. And, you know, we've done a lot of stuff over the years and I really appreciate that about long-term relationships from a business partnership perspective. I don't look for partners who I can just reach once and be done with. I look for partners like you who are going to be there, you know, 5 years later, who I can still get up on the phone and call and say, hey, let's do something, and, you know, vice versa. And I think that's also important. Too many people get lost in trying to find newer partners, bigger partners, whatever, and they don't remember that at the root of it, again, with partners is building relationships, delivering great content, being there, supporting one another, and in our case, being able to just, you know, chat like friends and meanwhile get to share great content with other people listening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know you got a lot going on right now, and so I don't want to keep you for the rest of the night. So I will just in the call with that. And thank you. Thank you again so much for being here tonight.
Thank you for the opportunity to serve you and your listeners, Matt. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, everyone have a good night.
Thank you. Lovely.